Hi, Leke.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you.
Good stuff. Well, look, firstly, thanks ever so much for taking some time out today. I know you've got a really busy schedule at the moment. And I appreciate you, you know, taking some time out to have a chat with me today. So Leke, before we kind of kick off and get into our conversation, could you just briefly introduce yourself and Black Valley?
Yes, sure. So as you mentioned, my name is Leke. I'm the founder of Black Valley. Black Valley basically was an idea that started last year around June, same time around the death of George Floyd. I think what kind of motivated me to start Black Valley was this idea that we should be a lot further ahead when it comes to conversation around race. And Black Valley kind of aims to do that really, to advance the Black community by supporting Black talent to thrive within technology. And we do that by pairing like the best Black talent with the best mentors within the industry, with the hope of supporting the Black talent to thrive. So we do that through programs, our career accelerator program and our founders incubator program, where we support Black founders to be investor ready.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. So the conversation that we wanted to have today, you know, broadly speaking, was, you know, to discuss the, I suppose, the representation of Black talent in technology, in the technology field. And to kind of kick things off, I'd really just like to, you know, get some views and opinions from you on, you know, is enough being done to, you know, in regards to, you know, representing, you know, Black talent in tech? Is enough being done, broadly speaking, by organisations in the UK at the moment?
Great question. I think to kind of start with the question of, it's probably easier to answer, like, why is that important, really? I think for me, you know, it's about the need to make sure Black people are working within the industry. When you think about tech is a world that we all interact with daily. It's important that the things being created represent and does it alienate like the Black community. You know, if the same sort of people are creating products, their unconscious bias will go into that product, and it means that, you know, what's being created, you know, would alienate the Black community within that sense as well. And we see plenty of examples of that already. You know, facial recognitions. That's biased towards recognizing, you know, Black faces. You know, so there's a need to make sure, you know, we're part of this conversation and making sure that, you know, things that have been created represent us. In terms of, like, you know, our organization doing enough to tackle the issue, I think that's a difficult one. I think, you know, with everything, you know, there's a lot of, well, say, public statements that's made by organizations, and I think they do mean well. You know, most organizations now, if you do ask them, they have like employee resource group, you know, dedicated to trying to tackle the issue. Whether there's been enough progress being made over the past year, I think if you have people like myself, people working within this space, I think we'll question that really, you know, in terms of like how much progress we've made since, you know, George Floyd, you know, within a year. I look at what we've been able to achieve within Black Valley within a year with limited resources. And then you look at what these organizations with, you know, millions of pounds of, you know, worth of resources that they could pour towards this issue and what they've achieved in that year, and you know that, hey, there's not enough that's been done. There has been, like, you know, conversations, there has been maybe plans or project in place, but it just feels like it's moving quite slow. And actually technology is an area that moves quite fast. So to me then, I guess there's probably, you know, two things. One, it's great that we started the conversation, it's great that we're looking at it, but actually there's a lot more to be done. And I think we should give organizations credit, you know, in terms of what they've tried to do. You know, there's been, you know, some organizations that, you know, released some funds to support like Black founders, for example. The team at Launch with GS, an example. Google for Startup had a really good program for Black founders where they invest without equity for Black founders. I think that's important because we need to support Black founders, especially Black female founders, you know, to get access to resources. There's been an effort, you know, to try and drive towards our own Black talent. But there could be more that could be done, really. And I think one of my pain points is when you're speaking to this organization, it just takes a lot to move. And I think when you're trying to tackle this issue as well, there is a balance between looking for immediate, because what organizations essentially want is, you know, the top talent to address and work within the organization straight away. But actually, there's probably a lot of like heavy lifting that needs to be done on the ground, where one, you know, you make sure there are, you know, enough interest within the Black community. you make sure that you're supporting and you're creating an environment where even after they've been hired, like they could try within that industry. You know, I hear stories of my colleagues or my friends working within certain companies, which are doing positive things to advance or hire more Black talent, but actually they could do better to retain the talents within the organization.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I suppose one of the other things, you know, a thought that's going through my mind is you're saying that, is that we know that the technology community specifically, you know, it's very heavily dominated by white males. You know, that's a fact. I'm just thinking about, you know, Black talent maybe sometimes not feeling like a lot of these workplaces, from what they see from the outside looking in, as whether they're places that they warm to or gravitate towards because of that underrepresentation. And so do you think, in regards to the attraction process, you know, how companies are, you know, attracting and engaging with, you know, diverse talent, specifically with Black communities, you know, what could they be doing maybe to maybe showcase why this isn't just an environment for white men, for example, just being, you know, as an extreme example, but we're not just an environment that caters for white men. We're an environment that caters for everybody, and Black talent and Black communities are absolutely, you know, welcome into these organizations. And, you know, this is why they should be applying to our company.
That's a really, really interesting one. And I think, you know, representation matters. You know, if you see someone that looks like you in a certain role, you're more likely to feel like that environment is for you. But there's a balance, right? Because, you know, what you don't want is organizations that maybe are not inclusive with, you know, to have one Black employee working in the organization and that Black employee to be posted all over the website. Yeah. I think there's a balance within that sense. In terms of what actively companies can do, I think it is a difficult one because there's no easy solution. I think, first of all, just to be honest and like open about the fact that actually we're not as diverse as we like to be at the moment, and we're working and we want to make an active effort to be more diverse and to especially focusing on Black talent. I think that honest and openness, that authenticity around that could be seen. And then the next step is to engage to really engage within the Black community. I do get a lot, you know, a lot of organizations trying to engage with us to post the job board to our community. I'm not saying that's wrong. I think that's, you know, we need to know where these jobs are in the first place, but that's very surface level. There's a lot more and a holistic way to engage with communities and to attract the talent from those communities. So it's thinking maybe a bit more holistically around, you know, the recruitment policy. You know, I think you mentioned about, you know, most of these tech companies, rightly so, look for the best talents. You know, through university or, you know, through your typical, they have like their grad schemes and things like that. And that's great. And we want to encourage more Black talents going through university to apply for the grad scheme and for those roles to be visible to them as well. But as well as that, I think there are maybe non-conventional routes that organizations could look at. There's quite a lot of demand recently for non-conventional routes. Like apprenticeships are a great one. You know, a lot of people are maybe not, university is quite expensive in the UK at the moment, so it might not be for everyone due to the very reason. So actually, this organization needs to be more open to apprenticeships. You know, this organization needs to be more open to people that maybe have gone through like boot camps, you know, to attract, you know, maybe not your typical journey. I think, you know, being visible within the community as well, running workshops, you know, and supporting, you know, people or just having like an open day where people have a really clear view about what working within the organization is truly like. You know, when you think Microsoft, when you think Google or IBM or those big tech companies, I think we will have an image of what they look like, and it can be quite daunting, to work for this company. But I think, you know, it's a catch 22 because the companies want to work for the best talent, and you as an individual, you want to work for the best company. So it's kind of like marrying the two and making sure you're able to position yourself to make sure the environment feels really, really conducive for those talents to apply. Is a difficult one because there's no simple answer. And I think, you know, if I know the answer to that question, I'll be a billionaire by now, because that's probably the most difficult question that organizations are trying to solve, which is how can we attract more Black talent into our company? But I think, you know, it goes into, like, in my opinion, authenticity. Like, you know, if there is a problem, be open about it, you know, engage with communities truly and try and find out what way, and be open that your engagement might not reward straight away, because I think and rightly so, to some extent, you know, organizations want return on investment. So if they are engaging in the community. They want to see, okay, how many talent can we recruit over the next 6 months, over the 12 months? But actually, this might not be a 6 month, 12 month fix. It might be, you might be investing, hoping that actually there'll be some, in 2-3 years time, you start seeing those talents coming through to your organization.
And I think this is where, like, long-term, you know, it's a long-term effort, isn't it? So in regards to, you know, how you position your employer brand and making sure, in regards to, you know, that authenticity piece is so important, I think, isn't it, as well? You know, so if companies know they're not doing a great job at the moment in regards to their diversity hiring policies and engaging with, you know, Black communities, for example, I think it's probably quite daunting for a lot of companies, and maybe people even listening to this think, can we actually be vocal about that and say, we know we're not doing a great job, but we're really passionate about doing a better job. But I think that message is actually a really, I think that would resonate with a lot of people, and people would actually gravitate towards that honesty, that authenticity, wouldn't they?
Yeah, 100%. And I think as well, I actually read a really interesting piece on LinkedIn by one of the senior leaders at an organization, which I will mention their name, about the conversation that they overheard, where, you know, they were just on the bus, someone mentioned as part of another tech company, not theirs, as they said in that piece, and they were quite annoyed by this, you know, virtue signaling, or like this, you know, woke, you know, rhetoric or organizations going around trying to be more inclusive. And they felt like, you know, they didn't feel that the organizations, like, you know, this, to be, you know, put it strictly, Black Lives Matter movement or this push towards diversity is kind of rubbing them the wrong way. So I think as the organizations, yes, need to be like really speak clearly about that. And, you know, companies like Black Valley or other companies that are working towards that, we need to push for those. But we've got a long way to go. And we need to make sure we carry people along as well. You know, there, I think you have to think about it from the other side of point of view as well. Like, if you're someone that, you know, let's say, you know, has a privilege and you're enjoying that privilege, it's not easy to give up that privilege. You might feel like you're being attacked. You know, I'm not white male. So for me, it's easy to say, yes, let's, you know, let's really disrupt the industry. Let's get more Black people in the industry. Because, you know, I feel like I'm serving myself and people that look like me, right? But actually, how does that sound to someone that doesn't look like me, that's a white male? Do they feel like they're being challenged? Rightly so, in my opinion. But I think this is where allyship comes into play. So organizations that are, you know, looking to diversify need to make sure they carry all the employees along, and which is quite a difficult one, and that's probably not an easy way to do that, really.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting point, actually, Leke, because I think the education piece is really important as well, isn't it? Because I think, especially when you look at, look, you know, huge enterprise businesses, and, you know, you've got these teams, and sometimes these teams are heavily populated with, you know, people from, you know, specific backgrounds or communities or whatever, and then conversations can flow and points of view can flow and things can, conversations and thoughts, a bit like you were saying about that, you know that person on the bus having that point of view and opinion, you know, them then going into work and then speaking to other people at the water cooler, and then these conversations and flows, without there being some form of education in organizations where, you know, people have an opportunity to actually, you know, listen to points of view and opinions. And, you know, because some people do need some education in regards to, like, white privilege, for example. I absolutely believe in that, you know, certainly as a man, I think being a white male in this country, you know, the privileges that I'm now afforded, from history, really, you know, they're clear for everyone to see. Not everyone will always have that opinion, because they haven't been sat down and spoken to, not in a way of kind of, you know, speaking down and, you know, being, you know, patronizing, but just that general education piece, you know, do you think that's something that could be introduced to organizations? Obviously not, you know, not forced upon people, but where people can actually start learning about, you know, different points of view and, you know, even the Black Lives Matter movement. Do people in these organizations actually understand what that movement stands for and why that exists? And do you think the education piece is something that we could speak more about?
Yeah, like, definitely. I think, you know, there's so many points to touch on when it comes to the education piece, right? I think there's kind of like a rhetoric that kind of says, you know, by focusing on Black talent, you know, actually you're maybe given an unfair advantage, which is not what we're trying to say. We're trying to say level the playing field. We're not trying to say give us an extra, you know, an unfair advantage. We're just saying give us the same opportunity that our white counterparts will have. So I think really explaining and making that clear might make someone that, you know, that feels their privilege is being attacked less threatened in a way. And I think, you know, for, you know, the person that is boss in this scenario that I use was actually someone in a senior leadership position. And, you know, in a senior leadership position, you have probably have certain metrics that you need to tackle. And actually, you know, diversity is advantageous to your company. You know, a McKinsey report, so, you know, 33%, you know, business that's more diverse is more likely to outperform their counterparts. So there's a bit, you know, it's not just a tick box exercise. It benefits your company. You're more likely, you know, the world that we live in now is diverse, diverse in itself. You know, you're serving a global community. If your organization reflects that, you're, you know, better able to understand your customer better and better able to serve them. So there's that piece around that. And, you know, there's creativity of thoughts as well. You know, we can't just live in a world where only one rhetoric, only one point of view is served. And especially when it comes to technology, right? You know, there's so many things to consider. I normally use this little example of, like, you know, something that might not make, you know, mean that much difference to people, but, you know, to someone like myself and to my friend, it did make a difference, you know, like an emoji, right? Having, like, you know, a different skin tone when that was introduced in emoji was a big moment. Like, you know, I love the fact that I could now, you know, express myself, you know, when I'm, you know, doing a smiley face and making sure the skin tone reflects what I look like. I'm not saying that's the same for all Black people, for myself and most people that I've spoken to, they like that. So little things like that was on, think about that. Am I more likely to use that emoji now for that reason? 100%. So it's little things like that that means actually by being inclusive, by making sure people within your company are thinking from a different point of view, you actually get more people to use your products because they feel they see themselves in that product.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, you touching on, obviously this, you know, what we're talking about is a huge topic, but, you know, just focusing on the business benefits for a moment, which is obviously a byproduct and not why, you know, you should be looking at your diversity hiring, but it's, you know, a byproduct of running a more successful business is, you know, it's clear to see. You know, I read some statistics before we jumped on the call, and, you know, there's statistics, and this is from an article from Power to Fly, a lot of these statistics from Forbes and other places, but, you know, 70%, for example, 70% more likely to attract new markets. So even from a business development, you know, perspective and moving into new markets and creating more revenue and, you know, ultimately profits, it's, you know, two times, you know, twice more innovative, 87% better decisions are made, you know, look, so many statistics, and you've probably got a ton of them as well, but it's interesting to see, isn't it, the byproduct of actually doubling down on diversity hiring is, yeah, the byproducts are kind of there for all to see, aren't they?
100%. And I think for why I'm so passionate about this is two reasons, right? I think top level reason why I feel like, you know, we need to make sure that technology attracts Black talent is because of that piece around the power of technology. Like, everyone interacts with technology on a daily basis, and we have the ability to tell stories within the technology, and we want to make sure that that storytelling is not biased, it's inclusive to Black people. I think that's really powerful in itself, and that's something that drives. But at the same time, I think for me, there's that second piece as well. Like, you know, I think the tech industry, you know, most people would say is a well-paid industry, you know, and it's an industry that will keep growing, and it doesn't seem like it'll slow down any soon. So what you achieve as well is social mobility for the Black community by doing that. So for me, you know, there's that business benefit, but there's that, you know, intrinsic benefit to really, you know, like making a really tangible change to the Black community, which I feel like organizations, you know, after, you know, June 2020, were like saying, yeah, we recognize there's a problem. We see, you know, we want to make a difference. And yeah, okay, this is something simple, something tangible that you could do. By hiring more diverse talent, Black talent to be specific, you are making an impact within the Black community. You're changing the narrative because, you know, that means there's more social mobility. You're changing narrative because then they will influence what you produce and how you produce that, and how your customers interact with that product. Like, it's just like such a simple win, in my opinion.
Absolutely. That's a really, really good point. So you've touched a couple of times on organizations engaging with the Black community. Have you got any kind of, you know, tips or hints or things that you've seen done really well where, you know, companies have started, you know, or they've got campaigns that are running where they are engaging with the Black community and how they did it? Because I suppose that's such a high, you know, engaging with the Black community is people would not know where to start in regards to, you know, creating a campaign of kind of change and, you know, doing things differently and, you know, engaging with the Black community. So what tips, hints or things that you've done, you know, seen done well previously, can you talk to us about?
That's a really good question, because I think, no one's doing it perfectly, right? Even positions that are doing it well, there are things that they could do better. But one thing that I really liked is what Google did with their Google for Startups, where they support Black founders. I think what was really good is, you know, not only did they recognize that we need to support more Black founders, with and advance more Black founders, they support, they make sure they engage with communities. You know, they share with, you know, different channels about, you know, how to apply for the program, what the application process looks like. They had like a clubhouse event where, you know, you could find out a bit more information about how to apply, what the application process looks like. You know, they got in touch with, you know, what I would say, like, influential Black leaders within the, you know, tech space to speak about what the program is about. And they were, to an extent, quite transparent about the application process, which sometimes I think some organizations, yes, they do these things, but you don't know what exactly what the application process looks like. And again, there's a privilege that comes with that. You know, for example, if you're used to applying for grants, if you're used to applying for these things, you know the same language that you need to use. You know there is, you know, certain way to communicate your confidence, and so you're more likely to be seen as the right business. Doesn't mean you're the right business. You just know how to play the game. So I think by making sure people understand your application process or what you're trying to do, makes the game a bit fairer. I think that's what Google really right. And then once they got people on the program, they actually gave them some money without equity as well. And one thing I really like, because I actually applied for the program as well, but didn't get in. But they followed up with people that didn't get into the program, and they gave you some advice, you know, about these other things that you could do. You know, I thought that was really good as well in that aspect. So that was successful for founders. I think, again, not necessarily specific organizations. I've seen organizations, you know, for example, supporting, like, you know, looking at focusing on tech, you know, supporting Black female coders, you know, with funds, you know, sponsoring organizations. I don't know if you like Black coding Black females and New York Enterprise with their, you know, Code App Bootcamp and making sure Black females have access to, you know, coding bootcamp, and they're sponsoring that. I think that's really, like, you know, groundwork that needs to be done to make, because there's a lot of interest within the Black community to learn how to code. And, you know, most people might not have the luxury of, like, you know, quitting their job, you know, or paying for this bootcamp, but making sure that that's accessible. I think those are tangible things to do, really. I think it's to say simply, I think it's just showing up, and you show up by, you know, finding out what people are doing and, like, or learning within the process. Mm-hmm. Even me as someone running Black Valley, I don't have all the answers, and I think I'm quite open and I'm still learning. I'll give you a really good example of me actively learning and what I'm trying to learn. Recently, you know, when we write the word Black, referring to Black people, we use a small letter, capital B, it's a small letter B rather than the capital B. I didn't think that was a big deal, but I read some article and around why it's important to use a capital to represent, you know, the B in Black, around, you know, the word Black represent not just a, you know, it's the whole culture, it's the whole community, and we need to emphasize that we use, you know, capitals when referring to, like, Asians and Latino, so why don't we use it with that for Black people as well? And that, to me, was something that I didn't think about before, but I was able to learn and educate myself about that. Now, I wasn't stubborn and, like, well, you know, I'm going to carry on using a small letter, but I learned and I rephrased that. Sounds like a simple change, but it was me learning. And, you know, within organizations as well, there needs to be that rhetoric about, okay, how can we educate ourselves and how can we learn? I'm not sure if that really answered your question, but I think just showing up and trying to engage, it's probably the easier way to engage with the community, really, and learning.
Yeah, no, it definitely answered the question. I think, you know, just the thing from your answer there that really stuck with me, it's just showing up. And I think that's quite a powerful statement, I think. And I think as well, I'd imagine there are so many organizations out there that are passionate about changing the way they hire, and they're passionate about wanting to engage with the Black community, you know, and we're using, you know, in tech, but more broadly speaking. But it is a sensitive topic as well. And I think there's probably a lot of organizations and business leaders out there that want to do something, they want to show up, but they also don't want to get it wrong. and they don't want to put themselves out there and potentially be like, but what if we get our messaging wrong around this campaign? What if we don't do it right? What if, you know, it's easier to, we want to do this, but it's just easier for us to hold back for now. And, you know, we'll find a way through this in the future at some point. They put it off. It's not done. But they want to create change. But because it is a topic that they feel like they need to tread around carefully, not enough change gets done for that reason. But what are your thoughts? You know, if you were talking directly to business leaders that want to create change, but they're currently frozen because they don't want to get it wrong. They don't want a PR blunder. They don't want to just, you know, mess the thing up. What would your message be to people in that position?
I think one thing that comes to mind, you know, where we are now, like, it's not enough to, like, stand back. It's not enough to be anti-racist. You need to actively do something about it, in my opinion. Like, you know, if organizations, like, you know, say, well, we're not, you know, racist, we're not, there's no, you know, stereotype going on with their company. But if you don't actively do anything about it, you're part of the problem. So you can't stand back, right? So you have to do something. Yes, there's a danger of getting it wrong. But I think you have to do something, right? The best way to avoid that scenario, even within that, you might still get it wrong. Because, for example, I cannot speak for the Black community as a whole. I make suggestions, but, you know, I think what you need to do is carry the Black community along. You can't create, like, it's like serving any customer base or any in any service. You research the market, you find out what they want. Like, you know, these companies are great at creating products, and they do, like, their product research, their market research, you know. You know, and it's the simple process is, what does customer want? Once you bring in an MVP, you reiterate and you learn, and you know, and it's the same process. You know, what the Black community want, which, you know, we don't have to spend £10 million straight away to see whether that's going to work. Can we spend a couple of grand and see how that works? Okay, yeah, that worked. Let's reiterate and let's go bigger. Like, to me, it sounds so simple, right? Like, just engage the community, find out what they want, do some sort of, like, you know, low level thing around that, and then see whether you can scale it out or try different things.
Yeah, great. So one of the other topics I wanted to touch on, Leke, was unconscious bias in the hiring process, and just get your general thoughts and feelings about how unconscious bias affects the hiring process. You know, I suppose, you know, ultimately around, you know, hiring Black talent into organisations. But, you know, if you've got any thoughts about, you know, the hiring process and specifically how unconscious bias affects the hiring process?
Yeah, I think, you know, unconscious bias is something that we all have. Me as a Black person, I have my unconscious bias. Me as someone, like, you know, we have an application process for Black Valley, for, you know, the Black community to sign up for our program. Even within that, I have my unconscious bias and I have to pull myself up on it. You know, there's sometimes a preference, you know, we have people coming from, like, different boot camps that are applying for our program. You know, the same boot camps that, in my opinion, like, are top level because of, like, maybe the results that grad gets or what I've read about them online. So when you see applications coming from those boot camps, like, you automatically think, like, those are they're going to be a great candidate for your program, right? And I could imagine, like, hiring managers having that same feeling. Maybe when you see your Red Brick University or your Ivy League University, that, okay, they're going to be great candidates. So yeah, I think we all have it, right? So I don't think, you know, we could just tell people not to be biased. Like, you know, it's not that simple. I think, you know, it's not an area that I'm an expert in, but I've, you know, had, like, a lot of interesting things being done within that field, which is, you know, that some people would, you know, screen applications blindly, you know, things like that. There's probably a lot more research that needs to be done around that. I don't think there's an easy way around it, if I'm honest, really. But I think, you know, like with most things, it's just to accept that you, for example, if you're a white male, might have unconscious bias of what, like, talent looks like. And it's been open as well to, like, what is your current recruitment strategy? Like, what stages within this process can those unconscious bias play in, and trying to be put things in place to tackle that, really. I think, you know, that in itself is probably an old piece around, you know, strategy, and each organization will probably be different. But with everything else, just maybe accepting that you know, we're probably not getting there, right? And hiring itself is complicated, right? You know, most business would tell you that, you know, well, even me as a entrepreneur, like I'm learning that, you know, the team that you have in place is key really to drive your business forward. And there's that bias towards action. You want immediate results. So, and you want to move fast as well. But actually to get it right, you probably need to move slow before you move fast. So I empathize with hiring managers is probably what I'll say there.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I think you lean on a good point there around the academic side of things, because, you know, there's a strong link between, you know, you've got high performance technology businesses and, you know, a lot of talent that they hire, you know, do come from, you know, university degree background, computer science, you know, engineering, whatever it may be. But it is a real privilege to I've gone to university to you know, it costs an awful lot of money. There's all these other associations, and there's also massive evidence to prove that, you know, that there are some amazing, you know, people that work in organizations all over the world that haven't got university degrees.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the best entrepreneurs in the world that we see, you know, didn't go to university, dropped out of university after like 6 months or a year or whatever, you know, the link there. And there's some amazing apprenticeship programs in place. And I think there's still a lot of bias, you know, my personal opinion, a lot of bias in the hiring process around high performance technology companies still wanting university degrees. Is that something you'd agree with? I don't know, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
It's an interesting one, because I think education is important, but you're right, at the same time, education is a privilege. So there's probably a piece around, you know, how do we make sure education is accessible to all? I think we do maybe we're doing quite well in the UK as a whole. Like, you know, you have free education up to university, right? Even to the state university, you still get some support around that. I think, you know, if you really want to engage with this process, then we need to go back to the grassroots and actually from that age where, you know, making sure like kids actually, you know, from diverse background are aware of STEM career routes, and like, you know, really, you know, trying to make sure, you know, because there are certain schools, right? You know, we have grammar schools within the UK system that, you know, you get to study like your three sciences rather than your one, you know. I do make sure, like, you know, a kid in a deprived area get that same opportunity. There's probably a piece around that. There's a piece around, you know, I guess maybe speaking from experience, like, you know, academic background, you know, from African background, you're pushed more like, you know, your law degree, your medical degree. But actually, how can we ally careers, you know, from early stage on, that actually there are careers within tech to those sort of students as well. So I think, I don't think education itself is like the problem. I think it's how we get people to engage with the education process or even reimagine education. I think there's probably a piece, I think, you know, certain people would prefer the academic route. And I don't think we should ignore that. I think that's fine for people interested in the academic route. And there are certain people that perform better, maybe practically as well. And I think, you know, in certain areas within tech, you probably don't necessarily need the academic background. You just need to be able to self-taught and self-learn. And there's probably an ownership around that. Like, to be a good developer, you don't necessarily need to be a great academic. You just need to love the problem of like problem solving and learning and like iterating with things like that. Is there a better way to teach people that? 100%. Like, you know, and there's great programs coming out at the moment around that, really. Are technology companies, you know, engaging with that more? Maybe not yet, because with anything, you probably take more time. They probably, you know, like, you know, how do you, I guess, within time is showing them like the best talents are coming from these organizations, you know, and getting them to interact with it that way, really. The simple answer to your question is, in my opinion, education is important. But actually, can we get more visibility? Can we support more talents that do have appetite from a diverse background to go down to education route? Can we make sure they have the same access, you know, to a someone going to a state school or private school, and like you know your Oxbridge, you know, student? Can we make sure, like, you know, I think it's scary enough, like, you know, most of the UK prime minister, you know, come from Elton, for example. You know, does that mean we can't get a prime minister from, you know, a comprehensive school in the UK, you know, like, does that mean we don't have someone like with leadership skills, or, you know, what did, like, rather than saying, okay, yes, that's one statement, but actually, what are they doing right in the LTN that makes sure like they could produce prime ministers, why can't we mirror that and do that within the state school? You know, to me, that's what I would look like, right? You know, and obviously there's resources as well, you know, just, you know, so there's probably funding. So it's a very complex issue, in my opinion. I think to really engage with the issue, you probably have to take a really holistic approach. You have to look at like education as a piece. You know, the education system probably needs reimagining, if I'm honest. I think university in its current format is probably outdated. Yeah. You know, in terms of like, you know, reading old textbooks, like technology moves so fast, right? So there's probably a piece that university chancellors around the globe needs to look around, how do they stay relevant?
Yeah.
You know, in 10 years time, are people still going to be paying, you know, what we're paying, $9K? It's a year now for university in the UK. Is someone willing to pay $27K or go an apprenticeship program where they get paid to learn the same stuff? So yeah, yeah. There's a piece around that. Sorry, that was a really long-winded answer.
Oh, it's a really good answer. And just a whole ton of things going around in my head as you're talking there and you're answering. But one of the things you were saying there, and it go off piste a little bit, but, you know, talking about the lack of diversity in government, I suppose, and talking about Prime Minister. And, you know, it's that people like me thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, I don't know how, it probably goes back hundreds of years, really, when you look at the people that are running, you know, just look at, you know, the UK, for example. But it is that white Etonian, you know, and whether it's, you know, Labour, Conservative or whatever, but it's, you know, I think if I was in the black community, I wouldn't feel welcome in that environment. You know, I wouldn't feel like that's a political route for me. I'm you know, and we're talking about striving now to become a prime minister of a country, which I know is very different from, you know, talking about, you know, the black talent in the technology domain. But I'm just talking more broadly about that, you know, feeling welcome and people like me, you know, conversation and using the UK government and, you know, prime minister at the top and, you know, the people in that, you know, in the prime minister's team. It's like, it's the same thing, isn't it? You know, yeah. Would you feel welcome in that environment as a black person?
I think that's a really good question. And I think I would throw another like piece in there around that argument. I think as well as race, there's a class issue as well. You know, and, you know, even within the black community, you know, we have very well to do, black people. And I mean, you know, we need to be honest and open with that, you know, their privilege is different from, you know, maybe someone like myself's privilege, you know, that they that do go to Eton and places like that. So there's probably like a class issue there as well. In terms of where we are, like in the UK, in terms of seeing maybe the next black prime minister, I think we're quite a long time away from that, really, if I'm honest. And I think, scary enough, without getting too political, you just need to see what happened with the England team recently, you know, when in the World Cup, and when the three black football players missed the penalty, and, you know, how the nation reacts to that. I think that's very underlining racism within the UK. And it's a shame that the government, you know, when they did their report around racism in the UK, didn't really tackle that, really. And the report was very, I think that maybe had a message that they were trying to convey, and the report just support their message rather than actually trying to really, they missed an opportunity and the trick there really to really try and, yeah, move the community forward. I know people sometimes say America is a lot backwards in terms of where we're in the UK. I think to understand maybe America is, but I think to understand as well, maybe America is a bit more advanced in terms of where we are.
Yeah, no, really, really good point. I've taken away so many things from this conversation, Leke. It's been really, really good talking to you, and I'm really grateful you've taken some time out to chat to me today. I think the biggest standout thing for me is your comment about just show up.
Mm.
I think that was quite, you know, something that kind of has really stuck with me. And I think, you know, if you were to kind of, you know, just leaving this conversation and just, you know, just giving maybe, you know, two or three pieces of advice to organisations looking to, you know, hire more black talent, you know, whether it's a technology business or maybe beyond. But are there, you know, two or three, you know, bits of advice that you have for organisations? Maybe it's around the just shut up topic or anything else, but just to round off the conversation, yeah, just a couple of thoughts from you on that.
Not necessarily advice, but maybe my, just from my experience of like developing Black Valley, kind of like to be for your audience, like we pair, you know, people looking to get into the industry with people working, you know, as mentors already within that field. And actually, interestingly, most of our mentors are from, you know, are white. I would say probably 70%. And is that interesting piece, like when I do have conversation with our mentors, they are worried about maybe, you know, coming up and showing up as a white savior, complex as well. And I think it's okay, you know, to not know whether you're gonna do the right thing or whether you're gonna say the right thing or things like that. But actually, the first thing is just like, if you really care, there is plenty of opportunity to make a difference. And actually you have a voice, and you know, try and use that to support and make a difference. And that's what I meant to show and do every day. And I'm so grateful for those mentors, even with their maybe doubts about, am I gonna be the right kind of person in the program? Are you know, the mentees gonna benefit? Like, our mentees do not care if you're white, Asian, black, you know, they just want to be supported to try with an industry that they're passionate about. And you know, I think for me, that's one thing that's quite powerful within Black Valley. It's like, actually, when you really boil it down, we are people. And you know, if you're interested in something and someone else is interested in the same thing, you have a common ground there, and you take it from there. So for these conversations, if you're passionate about, let's use example, you know, selling software to organizations, as long as the person that you're trying to engage with is passionate about that as well,
yeah,
everything else doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's brilliant. No, that's awesome. Well, Leke, you know I'm a huge fan of yours, huge fan of Black Valley. And by the way, anyone listening to this that wants to, maybe they're interested in being a mentor or a mentee, you know, what's the website, blackvalley.com, is that right?
Blackvalley.co.uk. Yeah, just we have like a sign up as a mentor or sign up as a mentee button there. But if you do want to ask any question as well, it's just info@blackvalley.co.uk.
That's brilliant. Well, Leke, great talking to you as always. And yeah, hopefully speak to you very soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, been a pleasure. Thanks ever so much. Cheers, Leke. Bye.
Bye. Bye.